Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. This is Salita, your host, Through the Eyes of the Black Woman, Say Your Peace Radio Network, and I am so excited. I've been waiting for this night. I have a great crew I'm going to be talking with tonight. We have the Diva Publishing Company on the air, the Georgia Peach Authors. How you guys doing?
We're doing okay.
So I got everybody online, right? I have Gina, right?
Yeah,
I'm here.
I have Marissa.
Here.
I have... we doing roll call?
Wait, make me want to raise my hand. Look.
And we have Alexa. Is that how you say it?
That's
no,
how you
Alexa.
Say it, but I don't believe she's on the call.
Okay.
Right. She's at a college visit with her daughter. She wanted to be here, but she sends her best.
Okay. Okay, great.
So
okay.
We have Jean Holloway
and Marissa,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
And
uh-huh.
Yes. Now, Marissa, your other, I guess you want to say ghost name. Can you hear me?
I can.
Can you guys,
yes, I can hear you.
It's Pink, right?
Tina McKinney. Pen name. It's pen name, Pink. P-Y-N-K.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something about her.
Uh-oh.
I tried to connect with her when I was on the local air. See, now I'm just on Blog Talk right now. Well, I have another show, but I'm a co-host of the other show. I
uh-huh.
had a show that was on local air. I had a great following. I had a great everything. And I tried to get a hold of Miss Pink. Miss Pink was too busy for me.
Uh-oh.
On my show. So I'm like, I kept trying to connect with her. I'm like, I want her on the show. I saw her book. I was like, I said, we would have a ball talking about her book. No, she was too busy and too high for me.
Oh, look at this.
She
look.
Did that? I'm gonna have to talk to her about that. We can't
okay.
have that. I'm sure she has a good reason, though.
Oh, man.
She was probably writing some kind of something erotic city-ish or something. But, yeah, I will talk to her about that. But I apologize for her to you. I've heard
uh-huh.
of that show that you had before when you told me about that in the email. So, yes, we're sorry about that. But we're here now.
Yeah, we're here now. I just wanted to let that out just in case that Ms. Pink is listening, that I really, really wanted to get her on that show.
Yes, we take that.
Okay.
We were bad. She was a bad girl, so she's apologizing.
Yes. Okay. Yes, Marissa. So I want both of you guys to kind of tell me a little bit about yourselves, and then we'll get into the business. We can talk about your books.
Okay. Who going first?
You
go first.
How about you, Jean?
Yeah, how about me, Jean? Okay. I started writing late in life, and honestly, I never thought I'd be a published author.
Uh-huh.
I started writing on a bet. My sister said, "You read so much, I bet you could write a book." And I said, "I bet I can." So in 1980 to 82, I wrote Ace of Hearts longhand, because that was back in the day. And
mm-hmm.
I got... And look, and I waited until, well, I didn't wait. Everybody else was waiting. I was ready. But I didn't get published until 2007.
Oh,
and then,
man.
I know, but that just shows you, don't give up your dream and God has a plan. Sometimes it takes some time, okay? But like they say, it's not in my time, it's in his.
That's
so
right.
after 20-some-odd years, Ace of Hearts came out, and what I had done, look, 20-some-odd years ago, was set myself up for a sequel, and then when people started asking me about the second book, it dawned on me, I got to do this again, look.
Do they really want me to do this again?
Okay, and after 25 years, and now I'm on the computer, So it was a learning experience, but it happened, and I got the deck of cards series completed. That was my main goal and dream. It was four books based on the life of the first black female homicide detective in a fictitious New York town.
Oh, man.
Now, look, her nemesises are always, is that nemesises or nemesis eye?
Yeah.
Okay. Are always sexual predators. And
oh, Lord.
It's not so much who done it. It's not so much a mystery. You know who did it. And I try and get you into the mind of this sexual predator so you know exactly how he justifies his actions.
Okay. That sounds good.
And the first book, he becomes obsessed with her. So it's kind of like the mouse chasing the cat.
Uh-huh.
And from there, you go on through her career. Blackjack happens about 4 years later in her career. And you actually watch her rise from rookie detective to captain of the homicide division.
Okay. Let's see. I'm sorry, you guys.
That's okay. I can tell you a little bit more about me. I've been a wife for, it'll be 41 years next month.
Oh, my God, that is such a blessing.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I've got 6 kids, 5 sons and a daughter.
Oh, my God.
10 grandkids and, and 3 great-grands.
Oh, my God.
So, I am blessed to have seen this. And if somebody had told me that, I would have never believed it. But
you're like, what the hell are you talking about? That's not me.
Okay. Say so. Now I'm grandma living in the country, Lord.
Man. Now tell everybody where you're from.
I'm from Cambria Heights, Queens, New York.
New York.
Okay, born and raised. I brought up my kids.
I was like, man, and you live in the country just like I do.
Girl, like I said, who knew? Not me.
I guess you know what? That's where our original roots come from anyway. So.
Exactly. So we're going back. And like I said, real estate here was a lot different. So it's like, whoa.
Uh-huh. Now, how long you been in Atlanta?
I've been in Georgia now for 14 years.
Oh, okay. About the same amount when I moved back here, when I got out the military. That's about right, yeah.
Uh-huh.
So we probably moved around the same time.
That sounds like it, huh?
Yeah, that's weird.
That is
okay,
weird.
Okay, now your other books. Let's talk about your other books.
Okay, after Ace of Hearts is Blackjack. Blackjack
uh-huh.
is my, that's my personal favorite because to me there's nothing sexier than an intelligent black man.
Oh,
now, the fact that he's a psychopath, you got to have to look past that, you know? I've had women say, I was falling in love with him. Yeah, that's the problem. That's exactly the issue. Okay? And he preys on widows. He finds widows, and he doesn't have to do much to charm them out of their money. So,
mm-hmm.
And then it has a little paranormal in it, too, because Siobhan has a daughter who speaks with the dead.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and sometimes it helps. Actually, sometimes it helps with the case. Sometimes it gets to be a little uncomfortable for all involved, but Tony, she's something else. You get to see her from, I think, age 2-3 years old until she's a grown woman.
Uh-huh. Oh.
And so you get to watch, you get to read how she follows Blackjack until she gets him. And I have to tell you, there's a little shocker there because I didn't even see where the book was going at the time. My character told me this is what was going to happen, and I didn't know how he was going to work it out, but he did. So, but look, he's my favorite. And then the third book, Deuce is Wild.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's the one that kind of makes me uncomfortable.
Oh, why?
It creeps me out. Look, I scared myself. Look, I scared myself.
Oh, man.
I was praying for my soul on that one. It's like, I don't know where this is coming from, okay?
But I need to get it out.
Yeah, I want it out and gone. So that was an experience. That was actually the fastest book I ever wrote. I wrote that book in 6 months because I wanted this person gone for real. Okay, and then the last one is Full House. And Full House is about, and look, and what is the little phrase they say? Any resemblance to real people is coincidental because it happens to be about a mom with 5 sons. No comparison, okay, who decides that she wants grandchildren. And the way that they go about getting these grandkids is a little bit off.
Okay.
Because she ends up having her sons kidnap crack addicts. They clean them up, impregnate them, and they keep everybody in the basement.
What?
Of course they do.
Now, wait a minute. Do we need to call? Look, do we need to call? Do she have such to your house?
When I come to your house, I'm sitting on the patio. I'm not going in the basement.
Okay.
With my peach martini, keeping an eye out. She has a very vivid imagination. She does mystery, suspense, science fiction, erotica, stalking, possessive. It's vivid.
She is
creative. Yes, she is very good.
The Looney Tunes. Look.
But you know what? I think it's awesome. I think that it's so awesome because that's the genre I read.
Girl, you're going to have to check me out.
Yes, I am, definitely. You don't even have to say nothing. I'm sitting here looking at now. You don't have to say nothing. I got it. I will definitely do it. I am definitely going to do it. These books sound so awesome.
Oh, thank you.
Man. Wow.
Well, I tell you what, my husband of 41 years read the first one, and he won't read any of the rest. He kind of looked at me strange for a good 3-4 weeks. You know how when you're doing something and you can feel somebody staring at you, where the back of your neck, you get uncomfortable? And I would turn around and say, "What is it?" And he's like, "I don't think I know you at all. Look." Everybody's giving him a hard time about sleeping with one eye open and all that good stuff. But like I told him, long as I'm writing it, you cool.
Yeah, just, I don't do what's in the book.
Exactly. So you safe.
Oh, man. Awesome. That is so awesome, man. Now, Marissa, come on. Come on. I know you got it, too. I know you got it. Talk to me, Marissa.
Salita, I have a vivid imagination myself. I've always had one. Used to get in trouble for it. But, yeah, it's all about the plot and the drama and the broken characters and bringing it. It doesn't matter what genre. It doesn't matter if it's mystery, romance. It doesn't matter if it's Christian fiction, erotica. It's about the characters themselves. And, I self-published in 2000 with May December Souls, and I got a book deal in 2001. So since then, it's been probably eight or nine mainstream titles with various publishers, and then five pink titles, which is the erotica that she writes, erotica. And I've written a couple of anthologies, The Heat of the Night, and then Morning, Noon, and Night, and a couple of independent novellas. One is Turnabout is Fair Play, and the other is The Six-Letter Word. So I'm working on finishing up Dr. Feelgood 2. Dr. Feelgood came out with Kensington, I think, in 08. So I'm wrapping that up. It's called You've Got It Bad. So what I'm really working on right now are continuing some of my stories. So I'm doing a sequel to Dr. Feelgood. Eventually I'll do the trilogy to Hot Girls. And Carol Taylor, Carol Taylor is a best-selling author with the Brown Sugar series that she started years ago. We have a deal to write, to continue her book, which is The X Chronicles, and then I'll continue Erotic City in four novellas every 6 months, starting next month. So I'm going from Erotic City, Miami, to Erotic City, Las Vegas, to Erotic City, Los Angeles, and then back to Atlanta, and she's continuing her series. So, you know, working with those characters that we know, those franchise characters, we're doing that for another 2 years. And I'm not sure what would be next for Pink as far as following that up, but I know that there's a prequel to Milan Kennedy in Erotic City. So Milan Kennedy is wealthy. Her father was a well-known musician, and she's always had a lot of money, and she opens a swingers club in Erotic City, but she has a past. So the prequel is called The Making of Milan, and that'll be out next year. So that is going to show people what happened before Milan got into the world of owning a swingers club when her father was alive. So that's, you know, so it's right now we're focusing on the titles that I have so far. I haven't, it isn't in me right now. I haven't thought of a new title that I'd want to go into, a new standalone that may come up. I have some ideas, but when I look down my list, none of them really move me. So I'm just going to go with what I've got on the plate now, which is quite a bit. So along with the Georgia Peaches and everything else, it's a very, very busy year already.
Man, so I see that you're doing a lot of traveling. You got stuff coming up, right?
Yeah.
We do, yes. As a group, we've got this Friday, we're going to Gulfport, Mississippi, and we are so, so excited to have our guest author. This is our first guest author of the year, Tina Brooks McKinney, who's on the line with us tonight. So we're just so happy to have her join us in Gulfport for the Unity Festival. We're having a book signing in Gulfport on the 15th, which is Friday at 6 o'clock. And then on Saturday the 16th is the Unity Festival. So when we give all our information later, they can go to the blog spot and get that those locations. And then we're doing a book club conference here. I'm going to Romantic Times in Kansas City and Book Expo in New York and going to Chattanooga next week for a book club meeting. So there's some tours and some more dates coming up. So it's you know, just trying to mix it up and stay visible and get to meet the readers. That's what it's all about, meeting the readers.
Man, you are very busy. You got your girls out. I love your pictures. You guys take some beautiful pictures. I love those pictures. And they came out so beautiful. You guys look so happy with your books in your hands. Like, yeah, this is my stuff right here.
When we wanted the pictures to look literary and they were looking like sisters, and I thought, well, it is sisterhood. You know,
exactly.
That sisterhood that you focus in on the Black History Month, you know, for this month with your topic in your show, and then that's what the Georgia Peaches, we're about sisterhood. It's, you know, the female authors in Atlanta coming together to support each other, which fits right into the Unity Festival because that's a community outreach where they do blood drives for the Red Cross and you know, debutante raffles where they donate money, and they're very visible. So sisterhood thing is what we focus on. We might bring some male authors in this year, as guest authors. But right now, Tina Brooks McKinney is the star of our show starting this weekend, so we're happy to have her.
Is she on the air with us?
Yeah. Of course, I'm here. Yes, I've been listening.
Well, good evening, sweetie. How are you tonight?
I'm absolutely wonderful. Thank you for the opportunity.
Okay, so I want to hear about you, too.
Well, I don't believe my career is as fast-paced as these ladies. These ladies are really doing big things, and I'm really proud of the organization that they put together. Before I even start talking about myself, I would like to say that what Marissa started is a wonderful idea.
Yes,
oftentimes in the literary community, we don't come together and support each other. So my hat goes off to her for the idea and for keeping it going for so long.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. It's well deserved. I started my writing career, like Jean, as a dare, One of my girlfriends challenged me to do it. I was an avid reader, and writing was just the next best step. So I penned a novel and didn't know what to do with it, and I wound up sending it to a publisher after I sent it to many, 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 many other publishers that said no, and they published my first novel.
Ahead and get ready for bed. Here's your walkers. Go ahead and stand up, go to the bathroom.
Oh, dear. I was like, oh, my God, I got disconnected.
I'm like, I don't want to go to bed yet.
Hold up. Just a second there, you guys.
Okay.
All righty, then. Are you still there?
Yeah, we are.
Okay. I'm sorry, you guys.
That's okay.
I can't even top that. I mean, where do you go from there?
Yeah, where do you go? Go ahead, sweetie. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. That is absolutely okay. But anyway, Zane published my first novel back in 2004, and I've been going ever since. My titles mainly include adult drama and different situations that happen in life. I love to put together a story where people learn something in the end. Of course, they got to go through a lot of trials and tribulations to get there, but they ultimately learn something. And one of my biggest accomplishments thus far is when I get the letters back from the readers that say, please, thank you for telling my story. And that just kind of makes this whole journey worthwhile, so to speak, because being a writer is certainly a lonely sport, and you have to have a full cooperative joint venture around you to keep you going.
True. And you know what? Something else too, and I'm saying this about us as African American women: we don't, not all of us, but there is a lot of us that can't even do what Marissa's done, and actually enjoy being around each other. And actually want to work together and collab together. We have this mentality because life has given it to us. And
but it's not even necessarily just women.
It's us too.
As a whole. You know, we don't support each other, it seems, a lot of times. And it's really sad.
Yeah.
I know early on, a few years ago, I used to have my own Blog Talk radio show. And my whole goal was to support other people, let them get to know new authors that didn't necessarily have a voice anywhere else.
Exactly.
So, and I think that's wonderful.
Yes, exactly. Well, that's what I did with my other show that Miss Pink had to chase her down. I'm not going to let you live that. I'm never going to let Miss Pink live that down.
I have a lot of making up to do.
Sounds like autographed copies to me.
And this is also a lesson not to get on her bad side.
I'm telling you, I gotta earn it.
That's what I did. I opened up a platform for authors to come on, because I actually started it on Blog Talk Radio, and then I took it to regular radio. And when I did that, I got picked up, syndicated out of Baton Rouge. Soon as I started doing my show, and my show was like no one has ever done a show like that. It was called Lily Author Showcase. And I interviewed so many authors from all over the place. I had a great time. And I had a team with me that made it even more fun. Oh, we had a great time. Then we added artists, up-and-coming musicians and stuff. And, man, our show was off the chain. But it was so overbearing, and I was doing a lot of the stuff by myself because the only person I could hire was my producer. So it wasn't like I had a lot of money. So I had to make a decision which way I wanted to go. So I said, you know what, I've always had Blog Talk. It's always been good to me. So I said, I'll just go back to Blog Talk. And actually, I was going to start going into another direction. But these authors just kept saying, I want to come on your show. I want to come on your show. And I was like, man, I guess I need to go back to doing what I was doing. And this has been a love for me. I don't know why. And I love talking to you guys because I get an opportunity to hear different aspects of what it is to be a writer and how you guys experience things differently and how some of you got the knowledge and some people are still trying to learn how to do stuff. And the ideal that you have that support system or somebody helping you push, my show might not make you no sales, but guess what? People are listening because they tell me they listen. You understand what
yes.
I'm saying? But
mm-hmm.
to get your name out there, you know, your name is out there, and I don't say, oh, you know, one thing I don't like is when someone, and I invite them on the show, what is your target market? I don't have a target market. My thing is, if you believe and you like to read and you love books and you're an author, there shouldn't be a target market. You come on the show and you do what you got to do. Answer the questions, have fun, and go on about your business. I just don't, you know, you have to have a certain person listening in order for you to, you know what I'm saying? I don't understand that.
Right.
I don't look at it like this. It's a show that I talk and interview and have fun with authors. That's basically what it is. So
it's necessary, and I thank you, too, for doing that, because we do need a place to talk.
Because I know you guys don't. I know you, I mean, you do randomly, y'all go around to different radio stations, and people might give you 15 minutes. I give you an hour. I mean,
exactly.
That's unprecedented. And then, you know what? It's free. Now, who would turn down free publicity?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know. Nobody I know.
So that's why I like doing this. This is just something, I don't even get a chance to even work on any of my books. You guys are making me so jealous because
uh-oh.
You had opportunity for all your books, and I got, what, 6 out, and that's it, and I can't get no more, and I have a whole bunch of them. I just can't get them out because I'm busy doing everything else. But what
mm-hmm.
I should be doing, that, coming back to my love. But, okay, enough about me. Let's talk about Diva Publishing. What made you go into the publishing, the publishing company deal? What made you do that? Were you said you had a book with Harper's Collins, right? You were published by others. What made you want to do your own publishing company, Marissa?
Well, Salita, I started out at a time when there were not as many authors. And it was right after Terry McMillan came out and was so successful. So a lot of publishers were looking for the next Terry McMillan.
Exactly.
And it was around 1997 through 99, especially around 2000, authors were submitting their manuscripts, and we were hearing about these deals, these six-figure deals, and this is going on and that's going on. And as I wrote my book, And that's a whole other story. I didn't plan to write it. It just kind of happened based on my life story. It evolved into fiction. I started sending it out, and I'm getting all these rejection letters. And I saved them, and I was like, okay, at least I'm going. It's in the process. And I was at a book signing with Michael Basin, and I asked him a question, and he said, buy this book called The Self-Publishing Manual by Dan Pointer. I started out self-published. And once you self-publish, you'll have an easier chance of getting picked up, because I don't believe a lot of these publishers are reading these manuscripts that are coming in. But if you can prove that you're self-published and you have a following, they're more likely to take that bound book and have someone read it. So
really?
A year later, I had my books delivered. I followed everything A to Z. A month after my book was out, I sent it to an agent. I got an agent like that. He told me, you're going to have an auction, I guarantee you. We had an auction in 2001, and they bought HarperCollins won the auction, and they bought May December Souls and The Chocolate Ship. And so they re-released May December Souls in 2002. But all that to say, I used self-publishing as a vehicle. For me, it was a vehicle to get to the mainstream. It was a lot of work. You had to print a lot of books back then. There were not the options you have now. There were not e-books. There weren't vanity press, you know, where you can print a book at a time or any of that. It was really different. But it was so much work, collecting the money and printing and shipping. I didn't enjoy all of that. I just wanted to focus on writing. So once I got the deals, I was able to focus on writing, but I quickly learned you still have to promote. That's a whole other thing. You always have to promote. Now there's more diversity in the industry, so I self-published Hot Girls, the follow-up to Hot Boys, under Diva Publishing, and I'm able to do my e-books and my novellas under Diva Publishing. So So that's why I've kept that, you know, the four, it's actually 4D, which is Four Divas. I've kept that publishing company alive, and I do have mainstream publishers, but I also can do other titles under that. So originally it was a vehicle to lead into the mainstream, but things have changed so much now that mainstream is not the norm. Small press sometimes is better. Self-publishing sometimes is better. There's not this anxiety where authors are trying to get with the mainstream or their book is going to stay locked up somewhere. There are too many options now, and you can make more money self-publishing than you can with the mainstream. It's in, you know, in some cases, some authors prefer it, some don't. For me, it worked out.
Yeah, and you know what? A lot of those companies, when they realized that self-publishing was coming and knocking on their doors, they saw that they had to come another way. I was reading an article about that, how these companies that were rejecting all these people, and they realized self-publishing, okay, now self-publishing is big. And now they're trying to start their own self-publishing. The big boys are doing self-publishing companies now.
Yes, that's what's happening. And a lot of them are trying to buy these titles, especially some of these e-titles that, you know, now they have multi-million dollar movie deals, and these authors were making so much money on Amazon alone, not to mention all the other platforms. And here come the publishers wanting a piece of that, so they offer them, you know, a lot of money, and they get their piece of it. But it's possible. If you can get the word of mouth going and do it on your own, you can do better than we used to be able to do years ago.
Right, because years ago it used to be that big stigmatism attached to self-publishing, and it's not there anymore because people are really stepping up their game. And they're putting out a product that looks like the same thing that's coming from a mainstream. And that's the key to the success. It has to look like the other books.
Mm-hmm.
You can't walk in.
And a lot goes into that.
It's much more inexpensive to self-publish, too. People don't realize it. It's not as expensive if you know what you're doing with it.
Yeah, plus the money goes in your pocket, instead of you paying everybody else.
Yeah,
this is true.
That's exactly right.
So but Marissa had a very good point. She said the promoting, that's the key. And even if you have a deal with a mainstream publisher, you still have to get out there and be able to promote.
Exactly.
Because it doesn't make any difference how many books you write. If nobody knows about them, then...
Exactly.
You know, you're going to run out of family and friends.
Okay.
That's true.
And also, there are so many books out here now that a lot of readers are downloading e-books.
Yes.
And if those readers are opening these files and they're seeing that the typesetting isn't right, you know, that the formatting is wrong, that they're, you know, the editing process has to be, you know, you can go to a mainstream publisher and they'll have a copy editor give you notes, they'll have a proofreader. They'll have
a line editor.
They'll have a touch. They have so many different people with so many different eyes and levels of people getting it right that you really, and I've learned, you've got to do that yourself. You've got to have a number of people, professional people, not just readers, because readers get into the story and they can miss some things. But not just proofreading, but story editing, where you could, they can show you different angles. For the first time, I had a male editor with Erotic City, Miami, and he, you know, it was a different angle of what he was seeing in the story, but they were very good ideas that I never would have thought of. You've got to have that. So readers will open the file and not read it if it's not quality. They really want to see the type of quality, whether it's a free book or not. It doesn't matter. So we've got to honor our readers and take the time to give them quality and a lot of options because that's what they want.
Exactly. That is so true. You're right about it.
And then to piggyback on that, if they read it the first time and they open it and they don't like it, you can guarantee they're not going to go back again. And they're not going to recommend the book to anybody else. So
That's true.
My suggestion authors as well is, you know, take the time, take the money, and do it right so these people do come back.
So if you're writing, like I had one writer, and she wrote this book, and she's an awesome person. She might be named as Ernestine Moore. And it kind of saddened me when she told me she had a story inside her, but she didn't know where to go, the means to get it written, how to do it or nothing. So she called a publishing company to tell her how to write a book. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was sad to a certain extent. And I say that because she didn't have anybody around her who knew how to write a book. She didn't know who else she could. So she said she just called a publishing company. And they told her exactly what to do. And she has an awesome book. But it just kind of
occurred
to me that...
rare.
Yes,
yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
That's a good thing, because a lot of times they might help you with publishing options, but they want to see the gift of you being a writer, whether you have titles or not. And
but
I think, I think what a lot of authors do, the craft itself is something you have to study. You, even Stephen King said, you never get it exact. It's like a pencil, and you sharpen it, and it breaks, and you sharpen it again. The craft is about a character arc and setting and pacing and point of view, and you have to study that. Online, read books, ask questions. You have to do your homework. So I'm glad that she was able to reach out and get some help, but I don't want readers, you know, who are aspiring authors to think that they can get that, because that's not very common. They really need to do their work and see if, you know, you may not be a writer. You may not be. You may try it and find out that it might not be for you because it looks a certain way from the outside looking in. But do the work and find out what's needed to craft a story. Not
but, I mean,
exactly.
I think in some cases like that where you call a publisher, 9 times out of 10 you have to pay them to do that. I don't
really know
anybody that's going to do that for free. But on the other side of that is Google will tell you just about everything you want to know about how to do it.
Yeah.
Right.
True.
But as Marissa said, you got to put in the work.
Yeah. I think she just didn't know. I think it was just a lack of not knowing the knowledge of how to go about doing it is the reason why she did it. She knew she had a story inside her, and her story is very good. I interviewed her twice. We might wind up having to have her on the show twice to complete the story. But it was an awesome story. But she said that's the only way she could have done it was to go call a publishing company because she didn't have anybody around her who were knowledgeable about writing books. And I thought that was kind of, you know, kind of strange, you know.
Yeah, very different.
Didn't have anybody around it. Yeah, it's kind of, that's the other word I wanted to use, but I didn't want to say it, but thank you for saying it for me.
Well, then the next question, did she ever get it done?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, good.
She's matter of fact, I was just talking to her just a few minutes ago. She's got it on, she's the one, she wrote the book called Casualty of Silence.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to look it up.
Her childhood.
Me too.
Yeah. Excuse me. It's about her childhood and being molested and raped by members of her stuff. So it's dealing with sexual abuse. But she did a good job with it. Whoever helped her did a good job with it. Excuse me. I'm not no expert. I'm not no critic. Because I'm not no great writer myself. I'd be lying if I sit here and say, oh, I got all this. I don't. I've always wrote, ever since I was a little kid, I wrote. I just like to write. And I never really did anything with it. I'm kind of a procrastinator when it comes to that. But y'all making me, like I said before, you guys are making me very jealous. And I want to be part of the group.
Uh-oh.
Come on. You know how
the Louisiana chapter of the Georgia Peaches.
You know, we have to be inclusive, and you guys got your stuff together. So I need to be around people who got their stuff together. You understand?
Oh, you, please, you do too, girl. We're all motivating each other. That's the sisterhood thing.
That's the point.
I mean, it's
that's
an authorhood thing as well. I think, you know, with Georgia Peaches, we are not, we're open to having men as guests and the whole bit, but I think we started out as, you know, female authors really supporting each other and being there, being a sounding board and touring together. If one can do it, four can do it 4 times as well. So, you know, we cheer you on in your gifts and your strengths and what you're doing. I mean, I couldn't do a Blow Talk show, but I cheered you on. That's great.
It's nothing but talking to people. I mean, that's all it is talking to people, listening to what they got to say. That's not hard. It's harder to write a book than it is.
Now, don't downplay it. It is.
I was going to say, wait a minute.
It is very time consuming. I know because I did it for years. So please do not downplay it.
I guess it was because when I got into it, I kind of set in my mind what I wanted to do. So now it's not. Matter of fact, it's much more easier. Before, when I started my Blog Talk back in, boy, when Blog Talk was it just came out, I had a show back then too. And it was nothing like it is now, you know. So it's much more easier now than it was back then. Like you said, it was kind of hard back then, but it's not anymore because I've done it for so long. And I've had different ways I've done my show. I've just not only dedicated to authors. I used to have another show that came on Saturday nights where we did issues. And, boy, that show was hot. But then I said I wanted to get back to dealing with women because that's my love, you know. Not to say I'm gay, I'm just saying I love talking to women because I love talking about our issues. I mean,
right.
We got many, man. We got so many issues. And I keep trying to tell people we're not like other people. People keep putting us in a clump as black women. We wind up getting in a clump with everybody else, but we're not. We're a very, very unique person, human being. And people don't understand us, and that's why to some people we're a threat. And if you think you put all you four together, oh, I know. When y'all walk in the room, people be like, damn, who they think they are, you know? Because I'm serious. We have an aura about us. You guys know you be around people all the time. Black women have an aura about themselves, and it's a threat. That aura, to some people who are insecure about themselves and have self-esteem problems, it's a threat. It's a threat. Power is something else. Especially when you have young African-American women who don't even realize their power. They don't realize the power that they have.
That's too true.
You know? So,
I agree.
So that's why I said I'm going to do this show like this because I get a chance to talk to. And I don't think I've interviewed a white author yet. But I've been interviewing all my girls, which I love doing because I get a chance to hear from all different angles of how you guys do all of this. And you guys sound so sincere, you know, because we can be fake at times. I'm going to be honest with you. We can be real fake at times. But you guys sound so sincere in what you're doing. I actually haven't talked to anybody yet or interviewed anybody yet that has that attitude like, you know, they're better or whatever. And that's something, you know, you want to feel comfortable no matter where you're talking or who you're talking to. You want to feel comfortable, and you want that person to feel comfortable for them to talk back with you, you know, to communicate. But you guys, I mean, I'm just, like, loving what you guys are doing. You're doing an awesome job, and the idea that you're part of the community, you're getting out and you're getting a chance to meet different people, you get a chance to see your fan base, you know. I know that's funny. Do any of you guys have stalkers? I know somebody got. I get that.
Well, I didn't have a stalker. Thank God the woman was in Canada. But she wanted me to come visit, but I'm not doing that. Because I told her I'm not coming to Canada in the winter because I saw misery.
Jean, you crazy. Oh.
That's exactly what she said, but I was dead serious. I was like, nope, that's okay.
What you say? You
saw this? Yeah, she lived in what? Alberta or something. I mean, it's cold, first of all. I'm not too crazy about cold. That's why I left New York. And then when she was talking, it was like, okay, so I looked up her picture, and yeah, she looked, Then I told my husband, I said, you're going to have to come with me. He's like, nah, I don't know about all that. So we had to waylay that one because, you know, here I am writing about keeping people in the basement. I don't want to be one of them.
Oh, no.
Pay you back for all the misery.
Okay. He's like, That's okay. Love you, too, from a distance. That's good.
But, you know, as Pink, I get that because a lot of people read my characters and they think that I am. First of all, I say if authors were their characters, we'd all be dead. Because we couldn't possibly really do we have vivid imagination, so they think that, you know, I'm like Pink. Well, no, Pink is not a character. Milan Kennedy is a character. Mona is a character. Monday is a character. Those are characters that I created, but they're not me. So I do have, I've had that situation before, and it's very scary, but you just have to, you know, I think it also helps to really relate to the characters more so when you're discussing your books, because sometimes it really starts with some of the personal things that might match that. It just goes in a different direction. But it's happened a couple times. And one was with a female that got my home number, too.
Oh, so, man.
That was back in the MySpace days.
Mm-hmm.
That was so fun.
So she just kept on calling you?
Pardon me?
She kept calling you?
She did. It surprised me. This was like a landline that I had. And she said she wasn't going to call, and she kept calling, and I changed my number, and I'm getting all these emails, and it was not good. She just
I bet you
to come
it
in town and, you know,
Oh, I got a call at 3 a.m.
Oh.
I still don't know how she got my number.
Now, see, now they know, but all they get is a good cussing out at 3 a.m. I'm sorry.
But she started off, she was so sweet.
She thought she was up writing. That's what she was.
And we do have a tendency to be nocturnal, but come on.
Yeah, thinking about you at 3 in the morning.
Okay.
She turned out to be very sweet. After I woke up and listened to what she was saying, because at first, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning, you think somebody's dead, dying.
Exactly.
Or, you know, so
exactly.
Once I got all of that out and realized she was just somebody that had just finished one of my books and wanted to talk.
So is it safe for you guys to give out your numbers?
I usually don't. I can communicate via email, Facebook, whatever. But well, first of all, you got to realize, chronologically advantaged. So to me, a cell phone, everybody else is connected at the hip. I don't need that. Look, man, nobody needs to be in contact with me 24/7. So I'm not a cell phone person, and people will text me, and I'll tell them right away. I don't text, so if you're waiting for an answer, it's going to be a minute. So.
But unfortunately, with the advent of computers and cell phones and all that, you can find anybody's number just about.
Pretty much.
You put it in Google, and you get the address to the house, a picture of the house, phone number, everything.
Now, that shocked me. I just found that out last year. That shocked me to death.
Well, Google is a government web browser. People don't realize that. And they have satellites. And they can find you wherever they want. That's why they have Google Maps. That's how they find you. They know exactly where you live at. All they need is an address.
Well, I mean, I've only had one threat since I've been doing it. And we defused the situation. But, I mean, most people have been nice.
Yeah.
They have. I think a lot of my communication with readers has been via email or, you know, via MySpace. And if they need some advice or if we're planning something or they have questions, I will give them, I'll give my cell phone number. I mean, 99.9% are fine, percent are fine. And sometimes if I have some new author conversations, we'll have a call-in number or, you know, I have an e-number, things like that. But I've given my cell phone number to people before. Not normally at a signing when you just meet someone, but if you're communicating for a while and you plan to talk, maybe to answer questions or to arrange an event, definitely. And believe me, what happened on MySpace is rare. That's rare. It doesn't happen a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, now, does the man chase you?
Does
the woman have any problems with males? Do you have any problems with males?
No, nobody wants to mess with an old lady.
When
I'm
you
lucky.
You locking people in the basement, basically.
Yeah, they leave me alone, okay? Besides, like I told my husband, we're past that phase of our life, you know what I mean? Like, nobody's going to mess with me.
They're not going there.
You got some people that like that fetish kind of stuff.
They leave. leave me alone. I had one guy make a comment and was like, "Dad, don't even worry about it. Look, we've been locked up for 41 years. Shut up." So we were cool. But no. I'm not a cougar. I said, heck, at my age, I'd be more like a mountain lion or something anyway.
Uh-oh. Girl, you need your own show.
Gina, you know what? I was watching The View this morning. We're like that. It's like everybody has their personality. Some have different senses of humor. You know, we all like to talk. We all have our points of view. But it's that type of getting together, you know. You know, when we're doing a book signing, Jean's going to say something funny. And it's just, she just keeps it so real, you know. So it's a mix of personalities. And it's been a good 3 years. We've been having a good time. So
yes, we have.
Y'all been together 3 years? That's a... Go ahead, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Right, well, we had some members come and go. Originally, I think it was the end of 2010, I invited some members, and everybody said yes, and then we worked it out for the year, and then we started doing more events. And sometimes that's, you know, other people are busy and can't fit it in. It's a big commitment. It really is a big commitment. And so we decided that for next year, we're really going to have guest authors. So we'll have, when we have events that we're invited to, we'll decide which ones we're going to accept. And then we'll decide which authors, because we have a list of authors in Atlanta that are local, we want to invite to participate. Just like we invited Tina Brooks McKinney this weekend in Mississippi. And then for the National Book Club Conference, we invited Rhonda McKnight and Margaret Johnson Hodge. So it just depends on what events we're doing, and we'll invite other authors to join in. So it'll be the Georgia Peach authors, but the members will vary. Because sometimes it's a full-time commitment. It is really, if you're doing an event, if you're each doing an event per year, you can have an event, a major event every other month amongst trying to write and do your own tour. Because, you know, authorship is pretty solitary. You're pretty alone in your planning, and it's that one decision. When you pick up the phone, you can say yes or no for you. But when you're doing it with a group, you have to take all that into consideration. Some people can make it, some can't. It works for others, it doesn't. It's a lot of compromise. So it's a big commitment, and I'm just proud of everybody for answering my emails, first of all, because sometimes there can be a lot of them. And, you know, conference calls, and it's just been a great experience. I wouldn't trade it for anything.
It sounds like you guys have fun when y'all go. You do.
We have a good
time. Especially with Miss Crazy right there. Miss New York.
No. No, we have a good time, I have to say. I've enjoyed every moment. The company, you can't beat it. So, I mean.
And I'm excited about this weekend.
I can't wait to meet you.
Great time. The weather's going to be nice.
It's going to be beautiful.
So. And, Salita, this is our first event outside of Atlanta. Well, outside of Georgia. We did go to Columbus to a military base. And this is our first event outside of Georgia. So we're really excited. Electa Rome Parks and I were driving. And the real divas, they're flying there the day before.
Look, Tina, don't let them do that to you, Tina.
Look, who they talking about? The real divas.
Okay.
Look, are they afraid of
your
driving or something?
No, well, honestly, as an ex-New Yorker, I don't drive, so I don't think they'd want me behind the wheel anyway. Trust me on that.
Yeah, we're going to have a good time. We can't wait to get there. We're doing a TV interview on Friday and then going right to the book signing at Barnes & Noble in Gulfport at 6 o'clock on the 15th. And then the next day we'll be at the Unity Festival, and it starts at 9. I think our time is from 10 to 2, I believe, but it starts at 9 o'clock in the morning. So if they just go to the Georgia Peach Authors blogspot, which is gapeachauthors.blogspot.com, they can find the information if they're in that area, any of the surrounding areas in Mississippi. So we're really excited about that. We hope to do more events outside of Georgia as well.
Man. Now, let me ask you something. Are you taking any new authors on with the publishing company? Are you taking any more submissions?
No, I have not published other authors.
I had thought about it,
and then, yeah, so Diva Publishing was really, you know, as I said, kind of a vehicle when I started out
for
in 2000
okay.
to get my book going, and then I picked it up
yeah.
again recently for some of the independent things. Every now and then I get submissions, and I let people know that I'm not publishing outside of that right now. That would be a really big commitment. I respect publishers so much. You know, just trying
mm-hmm.
to just trying to get the agreement out there and collect that manuscript and edit it and get it. You know, Jean does that. Jean has her publishing company. And Tina, you have one as well, right?
Yes, I do.
You have Taboo? Right.
Yes.
So they have publishing companies. And I know Jean accepts
okay.
other authors, but I don't right now.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. So how many
yeah.
authors have you accepted, Jean?
I've got about 6 authors, and we've been in existence.
What?
Fee Inc. has been in existence for about, it's our 4th birthday this month. And
right.
we've gotten out 14 titles so far, so I'm really proud of us.
Oh, awesome. And Tina, is that your name, ma'am? It's Tina,
yes.
right? Yes.
Yes.
How many do you have up under you?
Well, right now it's just for me, but
okay.
I am going to open it up later this year probably.
Mm-hmm.
And next year I'm planning on, I think I'm really going to start doing all of my stuff myself.
Oh, all right.
And you know what?
Now, I will say, Salita, I will say, I published
mm-hmm.
my granddaughter's book under my company.
Yeah.
How dare I say it's only me. Her book is called Bailey and the Bully, and it came out on 12/12/12. So my 10-year-old
uh-huh.
granddaughter is now published, so definitely a part of it. So I had to publish her. Now, publishing her is different. Got it edited and printed, and she is an awesome writer, and she's writing other titles in the series, so... So far, it's just been myself and my granddaughter,
man.
Alexis J.
So you need to be promoting her then.
Oh, we've been doing
that.
she's out of her first print run. We're going into another printing, and she's had newspaper articles done about her, and she's just really. Yeah, I'm excited. We've always known that she was a gifted writer, and she loves English and all that. So we're going to continue with her.
Man, that is awesome. That is awesome. Man, you guys, we're running out of time already.
Uh-oh.
Man. Oh, gosh.
That's what happens when you have good chatter.
Yes, I love this. I love it. I'm so happy I got a chance to meet the infamous, or one of the infamous. I'll just say that. I'm not going to say the name. But
what are you talking about?
Pink.
What happened?
Okay, look, she's not gonna let that go. I'm thinking somebody gonna have to do an hour with her just to make her look happy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Make me happy. Get a mailing address.
Okay.
I don't believe in chasing nobody down. Okay?
No, even if it's, I said mailing address, not residential, just a P.O. box or something.
Look, I got family in Georgia. I'm fine, you. Okay?
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Wait, and was she the one asking about the stalker? Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Uh-huh. Pink might have to go on vacation for a while.
Okay.
Are you coming to
Atlanta? You say Pink who?
Yeah, Pink who? I don't know Pink. Wow. Well, thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you so much. Look, we enjoyed it.
I had a great time with you guys. I want to say thank you again for taking your time out of your evening and hanging out with us here on Through the Eyes of the Black Woman. I want to say thank you. You guys have a safe trip to Mississippi. Come back
thanks,
in one
piece.
Okay.
We appreciate it. Thank you. Good night.
You heard me? Good night. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Okay, you guys, we just came up the air with the Georgia Peach authors. We had a great time. I want to thank them for their time. It was so awesome. That's what I like doing. This is what I find out, that this is where my heart is, doing just this. This is awesome. Excuse me, you guys. I got a bad cold that I caught today. So I sound terrible. And I couldn't say all the stuff that I really wanted to say. But I want to thank Marissa. I want to thank Jeannie. I want to thank Tina. I want to thank them for coming on the show and enjoying themselves. I hope and pray they've had a good time with us. And I definitely want to bring them back, definitely. So what I want to do now is I didn't change out my music. So what I'm going to do is, instead of playing my music, I think I'm going to close. I want to tell you guys, we have on the 14th, we have Deandra Future. Excuse me, her name is Desiree. Desiree Future is going to be on the 14th. That's Thursday. So we're going to get ready for that. And then on the 18th, we have, Omega. Miss Omega will be on here on the 18th. Then we have Nanette Buchanan on the 19th. We have Tisha Hill on the 20th. Sonia Sales is going to be on the 21st. And Violet Mier, I think that's how you say her name. She's going to be on the 22nd. Man, I am going to be busy. And we have Aisha, I think that's how you say her name, Aisha on the 25th. So we're going to be pretty busy for the next 2 weeks. I'm really enjoying this. I'm hoping everyone is enjoying the Women's History Month, being able to talk and just, this is awesome for me. I don't know how anybody else feels, but this is awesome for me. What I did was I added a little bit more time on so that we wouldn't lose any time with talking to them. I wanted them to get everything, all the information out. I didn't get a chance to get them to tell me where we can pick up their books at. I needed to do that. I'm sorry, I didn't get a chance to do that. But I want to say, you guys, I want you to have a safe weekend. No, I'm sorry. Desiree will be on the 14th, which is Thursday. So I will be talking back with you guys on the 14th. I think I'm going to take a rest for the next 2 days because I got to fight this cold. So I'll be back on Thursday, March the 14th. I can't wait. I want to say thank you again for listening to Through the Eyes of the Black Woman on the Say Your Peace Radio Network. I want to say good night.
This has been another episode of Through the Eyes of the Black Woman with your host, Salida. We want to thank you for listening in and stay tuned.